your word, God, that our hearts would be torn open and rebuilt by your principles and by your ways. Holy Spirit, we invite you to tear down every false thing that we believed or sought or attitude or action and conform it to your word. And Lord, I pray as we come as humanness, as fallen humans that have been redeemed in the blood of Jesus, that you might open our ears, that we would understand these spiritual truths. Lord, that you would open my mouth to only speak what your word says and not my own fleshly thoughts or opinions. God, we come in reverence and awe for your, to your holy scripture as it is the very words of God. And we ask, Lord, that sins would fall off of us, that lifestyles would be changed and transformed, that business as usual would be over, and that our hearts would be kindled with a flame and passion of the Holy Spirit to reach a lost world. We ask all these things in Jesus' mighty, matchless name, Yahweh, the one true God, Jesus the Messiah. We pray, amen. 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 You may be seated as the kids are dismissed to junior church, as the children go. We bless you with the word of God today. And I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 40 to 45. And I'm going to have to downsize this and go back in it. Is that, did that work? No, it didn't. For some reason. Let me see here. Huh. Let's try this. Nope, that didn't work either. Let me try something else. There we go. Little technical difficulties. As we come into this passage, as we continue our series on what did Jesus do, want to talk today about no one is untouchable for Jesus. So I want to read the passage first before we launch into it in chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. And as we work through the life of Jesus and we look at every miracle that Jesus performs, we need to know and have in mind that every miracle Jesus performs is pointing to an aspect of the gospel and our need for him. And so let's begin in verse 40 of Mark chapter 1. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. This is an amazing passage of scripture as we look at Jesus in leaving the glories of heaven, taking on human flesh and touching human flesh and healing. And as we come to this morning, I want you to think about times in your life when you felt like you were unlovable or untouchable, or maybe you've dealt with self-hatred. I know I have in my life. And maybe you're in a moment when, if you remember way back when you're a teenager and you have those awkward moments when you so much want to be accepted by a certain group of people or some people, and then they reject you and they don't invite you to that outing or whatever, and how you feel inside. I must be repulsive to them. Whoops. We feel like this guy. We feel like if somebody comes and loves us and accepts us, that we're going to hurt them. And I digress further. Giving birth wasn't so bad after all, says the nice little squirrel And then the mother porcupine says, easy for you to say. And some of us have things in our minds where we think, well, it's easy for so-and-so to say. I'm unlovable, I'm untouchable, I'm unforgivable. How could it be? And this is what greeting time at Christ Community Church would look like if we were all porcupines. It's like, hey, how are you? Ow! What's going on today? God bless you. Ah! But the truth of the matter is, oh, I like this one. No, John, I'll only up and up hurt you. He's getting there. The balloon is proposing. And first hug, you know, it's the end of that. And then at times you've been rejected. We've all been rejected by girls. In fact, Gordon was just sharing this morning about when he first met Norma, right? And he tried to kiss you. And what did you do? She turned away. It was rejected. At first, I don't think it's going to work out between us, but here they are, how many years later, and it did work. So in this passage, you can imagine, this gets a little bit more serious now, when we look at leprosy and what leprosy was all about. When the Bible mentions leprosy, it talks about it in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, but that passage was meant not for just what we know as the disease of leprosy, which we know today, it's called Hansen's disease, but it was a passage in Leviticus that talked about every skin disease that had to do with bacteria, and they even had the passage that talked about the walls in the house and mold and how it affected and what they were supposed to do. With that, but with skin diseases, what they were told to do, at that time, they believed that this particular disease was very contagious, but we found out today that it's not as contagious as they thought, but it still would spread. You had to touch somebody a lot, and you had to have the particles, sound familiar, go through the air in order to get it. They were commanded in the scripture to wear torn clothes, and they had to let their hair hang down loose. They couldn't put any nice buns or couldn't comb it this morning and make it all nice, just, you know, like Jonathan did today. He's a handsome dude, lady. Well, there's not much ladies, but there's ladies online listening probably. But they were said, don't comb your hair. Why? Because we need to know. And you're supposed to wear a mask, a face mask that covers up to your upper lip. And you were supposed to go, when you went in public, you had to cry out, unclean, unclean. Now imagine being in that place of going out and saying, don't befriend me, I'm unlovable, I'm unacceptable, I can't be touched. Imagine the darkness and the loneliness that a leper would feel. This disease would slowly progress, and it deforms the body. And I spared you, I didn't put some of the most extreme pictures on here today of what leprosy does. And a lot of us think, well, leprosy was skin rotting away, but it wasn't. It was a bacterial infection that attacked the nervous system. And so what happens when your nervous system is attacked is that your hands go numb and you no longer feel pain. And so I would say, I'm going to go punch a brick wall. And I punch it and I feel nothing. And so because of the loss of pain, that's how their hands and fingers and everything got mangled, because they would pick up a hot, boiling, scalding water and their skin would just burn and peel off because they had no feeling. Now, this reminds us that we can thank God for pain. Pain is a gift, and this is proof right here. But most deformities were caused. And in fact, when they would sleep and a rat would come in and chew their finger off, they wouldn't even feel it. And that's why they lost some of their fingers and limbs and things like that. Leprosy was spread by the skin contact. And then later, as we come up to this time in this passage, the religious leaders, and they're just like us today, being paranoid and also wanting to have control over people's lives, added extra rules. So they said, if a leper even sticks his head in your doorway, your house is unclean. You're going to have to fumigate the whole thing. Like some of us were doing at first when the coronavirus, we were wiping down all of our groceries. And they said, oh, no, it doesn't spread on the surfaces like it did. You know, they added these rules. And then they said, it is illegal for anyone to even greet a leper. So if you saw a leper, you could not talk to him. It was illegal by the Pharisees and the law of that time. And then they said, well, a leper, now I'm going to make some rules for you for social distancing. You're required to remain 100 cubits away from others if they're upwind from you, and if they're downwind from you, 4 cubits. So can you imagine these guys with robes and all their rules and paranoia? And then that caused all of society to look down upon these kind of people. Can you imagine being in that condition? And it's by no mistake that this miracle is recorded, because that is where we are at in our sin. Unacceptable, unlovable, untouchable. In fact, everything that we get involved in because of sin in our life, it gets worse. But thank God for sending Jesus to touch the untouchable. And so that brings us to our first point in chapter 1 of Mark, in verse 40, where he says the leper came to him, imploring and kneeling to him. No one is untouchable for Jesus because he's accessible. And how often we forget that Jesus is acceptable. When he said it is finished and the curtain was torn in two, you don't have to go through these priests that make these added extra rules anymore. You go directly to me. And think about this man. It took boldness for him to come out of his place outside the camp and come into town going, unclean, unclean, and walk up to Jesus. And you know how many of us are afraid to come to Jesus because of our social conventions or the things that we're afraid that we have to give up? This means we have to defy all restrictions, whether they're personal or social, to go to him. What is it that's holding you from going to Jesus? Is it fear? Is it worry? Is it paranoia? That man said, you know what? I'm unlovable. I am acceptable. I am going to go to this Jesus because I heard he might be able to heal me. This means that we have to call Jesus to our side, and he uses that word. It's a powerful word used throughout, and it's the same word used for the Holy Spirit being our comforter. It's parakaleo. It's imploring. It means to call him to our side, which is done in the way of entreaty. So you can see this guy with his mask and his wounds and his gnarled hands coming up and kneeling before Jesus, imploring, saying, Jesus, I need you by my side. Everybody else has rejected me. This is a last-ditch effort. I'm coming to you. This means we approach Jesus in all humility. Not like some of the TV preachers say, you need to demand your healing today. Tell God what he's supposed to do. This guy came kneeling. And don't think for a moment that there weren't Pharisees or pastors standing around going, much less the disciples. Oh, you'd imagine they were with Jesus, and all of a sudden there's Jesus and the man kneeling, and they were backing up. 100 cubits. Not Jesus. Look at the thing that this man said. He said in the end of verse 40, if you will. He didn't say you might be able to. He said, you can make me clean. And that word "you can" in the Greek was where we get the word power or dunamis or dynamite power. He says, I know you have the power to do it. And it's by the virtue of your own ability and resources and state of mind that you can do it. And he says, I know that you can make me clean. And that word "clean" in the Greek not only means physical stains, but spiritual stains as well. We have to have confidence that when we approach Jesus, He's able to forgive. He's able to cleanse. He has dynamite power. We're not approaching a normal, what we know, sinful human being. We're approaching a perfect human being full of the power of God in His nature. And here's possible problems with our own leprosy in our lives, is that we often become numb to our sin. And I think church people and people that maybe are even saved have a much more difficult time with this in dealing with sin and things in our life, is that we get numb to it. We forget what leprosy, the sin of leprosy, does to our lives. We're either in that camp where we just kind of brush it aside and say, well, God cares about smoking more than this, and so I'm going to focus on that in someone else's life. So I'm going to put the attention on them. Or we're in the category, it's too late, I'm too far gone, I might as well keep doing this because it has such a great grip on my life, it's too great for God to cleanse. Probably both of these thoughts were coursing through the leper's mind. In fact, he probably dealt with the numbness of nobody cares. Nobody wants to touch me. Why should I even go to Jesus? And then they coursed the thought of, could it be that He would love me? He says, if you will, I know you can. So he knew and he had confidence in the ability of Jesus to heal him. But there were some reservations. Is, will he? Will a rabbi touch an unclean man? You see, we have to admit and see our horrible condition and sin while at the same time realizing no sin is beyond Christ's ability. And this happens to be one of my favorite paintings because that's me holding the hammer that nailed the nails in His hands and He's holding me. So what can we take from this? Number one, we have to cast aside our fear and every worldly restriction that we placed on ourselves, family restriction, and come to Jesus. Some of you, it might be restrictions of, oh, this sin is too addictive and too great. Why should I come to Jesus now? And we have to humbly admit how horrible our condition is and how much we need Jesus. We have to see that we're numb. You know, and in fact, that should be a prayer every single day when we go to confess our sins. God, show me the areas I'm numb. Show me where I'm hitting my fist against something and where I'm letting the rats chew because I don't feel it. I don't see it. I don't know it. Holy Spirit. That's why David is always praying, reveal the unclean things in my heart. We can have hope that Jesus is able to cleanse every sin. Doesn't matter how far gone we are or how bad we are or how hypocritical we become or how long we've been in the church and not been on fire for Jesus to say. And that's where a lot of us get stuck because it's too embarrassing now. Well, I've been a leader in the church for so many years and I've been dead, spiritually dead and not on fire for Jesus. Why now? Why should I come to Jesus now? Forget that. Forget the embarrassment. The leper did. That's much more embarrassing than any of you and I could feel in having to approach somebody saying unclean, unclean. But yet that's how we should approach God. Unclean, unclean. I know you can cleanse me. Number two, No one is untouchable for Jesus because he is full of compassion. And we see in verse 41 a powerful verse, and I don't think that I can even explain or describe the power of this Greek word to you, but I'll try my best. He says, moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I will be clean. That word moved with pity is moved as in one's bowels. You know when you get nervous about something or start to worry about something, where do you feel it? You feel it in your guts. Things start to get nervous and churning here and hurting here when you're nervous about something. But the same thing that happens when we feel such a pity and a compassion, like if we see someone in such a condition and we know that we can help on the side of the road, and maybe some of us don't feel this, and that's why we need to pray. And what we talked about, this, what our brother shared, is to have a compassion for people around us with the gospel, to have that gut-wrenching feeling and drawing that I need to show love to that person. Jesus has that for you and I in a way that we can't even explain from this verse. His inwards are moved with a love and a pity for you and I that we can't even put into words. He takes our pity and our horrible conditions that we're in. No, not me. Not my sin, Jesus. But he did. How much more would we show that kind of compassion to those that are not like us, to those that are drunk, to those that stink, to those that haven't bathed their showers, or to those that come up and talk because they don't have teeth and they spit on us when they talk? To be filled and sense this, we won't be able to do that until we sense the depth and the level of the compassion that Jesus has for us, just as he had for the leper. He feels the weight of our sins and effects. And this is so much more than you and I can have compassion for others. It's such a deep compassion that all at the same time, when that leper was coming, he not only felt the weight of this guy's rejection from society, but he felt the weight of sin and what sin has done to cause this disease. And we have diseases on the earth because of sin, right? It is the effects of the fall of man. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. He knew what was to come for the cross, and he accomplished that on the cross. He felt the full weight. Now, if we were to say each of your sins were weighed 1 pound, and that's being pretty big, let's say each of your sins that you've committed, your thoughts, your words, your actions, your deeds, your apathy, your lack of obedience, each one of those, and every day, how big would that be? Just think about, one day would be pretty big and too heavy. If it weighed 1 pound, you couldn't carry mine. But imagine that all at once, emotionally, physically, being on Jesus on the cross, and even in this moment when he said, I will be clean. He has compassion and love from the depths of his guts for us. And do you picture and see Jesus embracing you today? Because if you don't, you won't be able to embrace others. If you have developed porcupine syndrome in your life, God surely can't embrace me. Then you'll never be able to embrace others fully. So, do you see where this is heading, folks? Our lack of love and compassion for others stems from us not realizing how compassionate and loved God, how much love and pity God has for each of us. Because we haven't opened ourselves up to be changed by God's love. We can talk about God's love. We can quote John 3:16. We can say God loves the church and I'm supposed to love others. But if I haven't experienced it for myself, I'm going to be a stiff and rigid as I can possibly be. And that's how I started out my life. I felt like I was such a dirty pile of doo-doo that even when I would shake people's hands, I felt like, you don't want to touch me. I'm a nerd. I'm weird and I'm stupid and all of that, you know. But in time, as God's love began to pour over my life, she does touch me. Beauty touched me when I allowed God's beauty to touch my life. I have to do those illustrations more often. I kind of like that. Will you let Jesus love you? It's time to get rid of those porcupine needles. Allow His love to open us. And this is where we get paralyzed in fear as a church, and why we hold back sharing the gospel, and why we hold back our emotions, and how we are afraid to look like a fool in front of other people if we do give somebody a big hug or say, hey, how you do? No, we're just going to stay a little bit reserved in that state. Because we haven't been touched, washed over by the freeing love of Jesus Christ. And so no matter who you are and how bad you've been and how bad your life has been, and some of us go through difficult things, Jesus has a gut-wrenching kind of love for you. And so we have to allow His love to flow over our lives. And we can live in joy because, did you notice that Jesus not only relieves our affliction, but it's one of His favorite things to do. In other words, He delights in relieving our affliction. Number three, no one is untouchable for Jesus because He is willing to touch the untouchable. And there is power in touch, right? And some of us relate with different forms of love, and I understand that. And you know why I had a struggle with that and why I felt like and had these issues with, oh, you don't want to give me a hug or you don't want to shake my hand? Because that is my love language. It's touch. And some of you might be words of affirmation and, you know, the five love languages and that. But all humans need touch. We know that from psychology, and there was a psychologist, Darcy Narvaez, that was sharing in an article that there was a baby that was pronounced dead by the doctors, and this lady by the name of Kate Org unwrapped the dead baby and held him in her chest, and after some breast milk on her finger, he started to breathe normally, and after 2 hours of talking to him, he opened his eyes and grabbed her finger. The ancient practice of skin-to-skin contact, or kangaroo care, is becoming popular in hospitals. They're realizing that babies need touch to live. Humans need touch to live. The leper needed touch to live, the touch of the Savior to live eternal life. And you need His touch, and I need His touch. And it's amazing the power of touch that God has given us. And it's no wonder that the devil delights when he can shut down and distance human touch, because that is part of the power of the gospel, is that Jesus was willing to go touch the leper, and that you and I should be willing to touch other people's lives. And that word touch means more than just a tap or, you know, the kind of hugs that guys give to each other. I'm not gay. The three taps. But the word touch here means to fasten or adhere to. That's the first part of it. That means Jesus not only went, He grabbed His arm, that mangled, twisted, bloodied up, bandaged up, and He embraced him. But the second part of this word is fascinating. It means to set on fire. It's the word used for kindling fire, lighting a lamp. And I want to pray today, and you should pray today, if you haven't experienced and opened yourself up to the touch of the Savior. It could very well be that is why you're spiritually dead, because when He touches, as He did this man, and it is the picture of righteousness being infused into him and cleaning him up, not only physically, but spiritually, Jesus imputes His righteousness to us when we receive the gospel by faith. But when He touches us, it is a touch of fire, of kindling the lamp of compassion and love and openness to give love to others. So I want to challenge you. Jesus, I don't want you to tap me. I want you to grab me. And I want you, and this is the same word used of the 10 virgins preparing for the coming of Jesus when they said their lamp went out because they ran out of oil. It talks about our relationship with Jesus. I pray every person in this room begins to ask God for this kind of touch. That He is going to kindle your fire. He's going to light your lamp. And when He lights it, there might be a little buzzing back and forth and excitement, but when He lights it, it stays steady and it's filled with compassion for others. And we're not talking about a flame of, well, I was in church and I had church and I ran laps around and I jumped and I walked across these chairs and tables and all these kinds of things. And I raised my hand and I went, oh, we had church. But this kind of fire, when we see somebody that has a need on the road, fills us with compassion and we burn with love for that person. That's Jesus' kind of everlasting love. Jesus is the Savior who initiated this reaching out. The man kneeled, but Jesus reached out and grabbed a hold of him. He's the Savior who, from that definition, delights in touching us. Wouldn't you, if your touch would light people on fire with such a love and compassion, wouldn't you like doing that? I filled another one with my love. And another one with my love. Another one with my life. He's a Savior who wants us to feel and experience His affirmation, love, and sympathy as He embraces us. He wants us to experience Him. So for those of you that are just stuck with definitions and just reading lines and black and white things, this is not just a book that's a textbook. It's life. And we encounter a living Savior who wants you to experience Him for real in your life. And His touch brings change in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." All from His touch, from the cross. Folks, we're living in horrible times. We're living in times where the hatred is seething and unfortunately I had to ask God's forgiveness because that hate was starting to well up in me and I can't believe how stupid people are and I can't believe how dumb people are and how false things people are believing and I have my soapbox and I have my politics and what I want to stand on. In a world that's filled with hate, God wants to bring us back to the gospel. We can rejoice in the revelation that no one is too repulsive for Jesus to touch and say bye-bye to your self-hatred. Say bye-bye to hatred in the earth, or in at least in our lives. That's the kingdom of God. The touch of Jesus brings change. Let Him touch you. And that brings us last today. And verses 41, no one is untouchable for Jesus because his word heals. He says, I will. He says, if you're willing, and he says, I will be clean. And immediately, that's Mark's favorite word, by the way, remember? He uses that in about a couple times in every chapter, many times. The leprosy left him, and he was made clean. No one is untouchable for Jesus because his word heals. The word of Jesus cleanses us from sin immediately. Immediately. He is able to heal immediately. That's why if we're praying even for physical healing for somebody in our family, in our lives, that we place confidence in God and we pray for God's healing if He wills. In other words, have an attitude of humility, but I know you can, so I'm going to pray that God heals, and I know that He wills, whether it's here or in the life to come. He wills it to be done. I don't know if it's going to happen on this earth or later, but I don't have to be like the prophets of Baal and sit and beat myself over and over again. Jesus heal, Jesus heal, like the crazy Bethel crowd did to raise that girl from the dead for a long time. Chanting and chanting and chanting. When Jesus heals, it's just His word, and it's immediate and complete. The word of Jesus cleanses us from sin immediately. The word of Jesus gives us His righteousness. And so imagine this leper. What a picture. You see the picture of the malformed guy and fingers off. Torn clothes because he had to, his hair down, and all of a sudden that is all gone and he has a new robe, which is a big picture to us for what Jesus has done on the cross. He gives us His righteousness. His word heals. And when Jesus says, I will, look at the power of that word. It means to have in mind, to intend, to be resolved or determined, to desire, to wish, to love, to delight. Jesus delights in healing. So He's determined to cleanse and heal. His purpose is to cleanse and heal. Jesus loves and likes to do it. And He delights and takes pleasure in cleansing. So we know that when we come to Him, by His stripes we are healed. He wants to do it. He loves to do it. That's His will. And when it comes to physical healing on the earth, we know that God heals today. And He still does miracles today of healing. Because He loves to do it. If it fits His purpose and if it glorifies His name, we'll be healed right now. Or if for some reason, Joni Erickson Tata, who's cried out to the Lord for many years for physical healing, but as a result of God not healing her, many souls have been cleansed and healed because of that. One day, you're going to see her running down the streets of gold. We can be confident in His word. So in other words, we need to read it, say it, meditate it on it, and believe it. This is when our lamps get lit. The scripture suddenly becomes not something just to read. Well, I got through my devotions today. I read the daily bread. But it becomes something that literally I believe and grasp onto with all my heart. And I begin to live it out in my life. And then we should quiet our souls and ponder what changes we need to be making in our lives in the light of the righteousness we've been given in Jesus Christ. I want to ask our worship team to come this morning, but as we review this scripture, I want to ask the Holy Spirit to touch your heart. No one is untouchable for Jesus because He's accessible. He's full of compassion. He's willing to touch the untouchable. He loves to do it. Even though He doesn't have to, He loves to do it. Jesus, because of His word, heals. As we look at this today, have you been touched by power and the love of Jesus Christ. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your wonderful grace. We thank you for the power of your healing that you've exemplified in this passage. We know that it's for physical healing, but even deeper, you are preaching the gospel. It's for our cleansing, and that's why you use the word, be clean. Lord, I pray that you would let these truths settle in my heart, in the hearts of my dear brothers and sisters in this room, and don't let us escape the full ramifications of your scripture. And Lord, if I have said anything outside of your word, that you'd make that evident and clear to all. But Lord, we long for your touch. We long for our lamps to be burning with a compassion, love for the gospel, for our community, and for our war-torn land. Jesus, would you come? I want to invite you to stand today as we sing this song. And if you would like to come down to the altar today to pray, if God has touched your heart and moved you in such a way, you want to stay in your seat and pray, we invite you to do that this morning. I'd be more than happy to pray with you, but I will tell you, I'm right there with you. It's the power of this word in Scripture today. So let's stand and sing this song.